Hi, it's KCCK's Culture Crawl. I'm Dennis Green, and my guests today are with the Thaler Holocaust Speaker Series, which comes to Cedar Rapids in the spring of every year. Jim Bernstein from the committee. Jim, welcome. Nice to see you again.
Good to see you, Dennis. Thank you.
Joining us over Zoom today remotely is our Holocaust speaker for this year, Erica Schwartz. Erica, where are you joining us from?
I'm in Springfield, Missouri.
Oh, okay. So just not that far away at all.
No, not at all.
Before we talk about Erica's story, Jim, for those who may not be aware or have forgotten since the last year, please just kind of give us the short introduction to the Thaler series, how it came about, and what your committee's activities are.
Sure. So it's been more than 25 years since Joan and David Thaler, who were residents of Cedar Rapids and a member of Temple Judah Synagogue. David survived the Holocaust, moved to the United States, got his medical degree. He met Joan in St. Louis, and they moved to Cedar Rapids. David had his medical practice here. And they realized more than 25 years ago that there was a paucity of Holocaust education at the middle school and high school level. So they started a fund, a foundation to support Holocaust education in high school and in middle school. And we've been sponsoring the speaker series as a result and with the help of funds from the foundation for as long as I can remember. It's probably pretty close to 25 years. We bring a speaker in every spring, typically a survivor of the Holocaust. And we've been doing that for close to 25 years. So this year, Erica will be appearing first April 1 at 7 p.m. at Coe College at Sinclair Auditorium. That's our memorial service, a Holocaust memorial service, and Erica will be speaking there. And then the following afternoon, she'll be speaking at Ballantyne Auditorium, Ballantyne Hall at Kirkwood Community College at 1:30 in the afternoon. That's April 2. Now, if people cannot attend either session, there will be a live stream of the session at Ballantyne at Kirkwood. And I'm sure you can put this in notes on the program, but for the live stream is accessible at kirkwood.edu/BA Live. And then the video of the appearance of Erica's presentation will be on Kirkwood's YouTube channel subsequent to her appearance. So that's the setup for this year. We're really thrilled to have Erica come and visit with us and share her story, because I think it's a really unique story, a different story from many of the speakers we've had before.
There are a lot of different aspects to your story, Erica, that we'll get into. But as we've talked over the years, the farther we get from the Holocaust, it gets more difficult to talk to a Holocaust survivor. And in your case, Erica, you are probably one of the youngest Holocaust survivors, because your story begins literally when you were an infant.
Right. I was a year old when the war ended, so I have no memories, direct memories of it, but I was born in a ghetto that was sealed the day after I was born in Hungary, and within a couple of weeks after that, the transports to Auschwitz began. All of the women and children in my mother's family were murdered in the gas chambers of Auschwitz. My father was the one that got my mother and me out of the ghetto before the transports started.
During the war, I know that evaded the Nazis before, and then lived in Hungary under communist rule for the first several years of your life. So that's kind of you know, in association with your Holocaust story is also growing up in a repressive communist regime shortly after the war.
Right. Yeah. And it was what made it difficult for my mother to finally get out to the United States, because she stayed in Hungary so long afterwards. I have really very little memory of it. I was 4 years old when we came to the United States. But my mother was very unwilling to leave right after the war, because she had no idea if any of her family was dead or alive, and she just wanted to stay in case somebody had survived.
And your experience then is, you know, is through the lens of your mom, but not because she talked about her experience, but it was really kind of the lingering effects of PTSD after having that experience that really colored your entire upbringing in young life, correct?
Very much so. And I talk about that. That's a big part of my story, is how what she suffered, excuse me, the trauma that she suffered, and how it left her, how it affected me, which was profound. I had no extended family, no father, just a mother who required my full attention from the time as far back as I can remember. And that was very, very difficult to grow up with.
Did your mom ever eventually, did she talk about her experiences during the war, or was this just something that, you know, she repressed and it came out in other complications and traumas through her life and yours?
She never talked about it. She never started a conversation about it. However, as I got older and started asking questions, she did answer most of my questions. There were some topics that she would never discuss, but a lot of the information that I got about her family, she was willing to tell me. And I got more other information from distant relatives who had information about how some of the members of her family had been murdered.
For many years of your life, Erica, you never considered yourself a Holocaust survivor, but eventually you came to realize that, you know, that this did have that profound effect on you, just like it did on so many who survived the experience. Tell me about, you know, when you kind of came to that realization.
Well, it was very recently, actually, only about maybe 10 years ago. And I'm going to turn 80 next month. So when we first moved to California, I was in my 30s. There was a psychologist who started a group for child survivors. And I did try to join that. But within a couple of sessions, I felt I didn't belong, because everybody there had memories and I had no memories. And I felt like I didn't know where I belonged. So it wasn't until I was around 70 years old, or maybe a little older, that I was at an event, and there was an incident that made me realize that as one of the youngest survivors, I had an obligation, that I did have a story to tell, because most of the survivors that were bearing testimony were dying. And that's when I started talking. And once I started telling my story, I realized how relevant it was.
And I'm guessing that it's given you maybe some peace in your memories of your own life, being able to talk this through and share it with other people.
It certainly helps. It's made it a lot easier to talk about it. When I first started speaking, which was at the Los Angeles Holocaust Museum, I literally cried through every presentation. I don't anymore. But more importantly, it gave me a sense of purpose, a surprising sense of purpose, because of the feedback I've gotten about the effect of my story, that no matter how often I tell it and how painful sometimes it is, I realize how important it is.
Well, without giving away everything that you're going to talk about when you give your speeches in Cedar Rapids, what is the one thing that you want to have, particularly a young person who, you know, maybe hearing this message for the very first time? What do you want people to take away from your speech?
I love speaking to young people. Students in schools are my favorite audience. And what I want to get across to them more than anything is that no matter what you're going through, no matter how hard your life might be right now, or even going forward for a few years, there is always hope. And there is always a way that you can turn your perspective of life around to live an amazing life, because that was a big part of my experience.
Erica Schwartz will be in Cedar Rapids as a part of the Thaler Holocaust Remembrance Speaker Series. Jim, would you run through the public events one more time where Eric is going to be?
Yeah, be happy to. So the first one is 7 p.m. Monday night, April 1, Sinclair Auditorium, Coe College. And then the second one is 1:30 p.m. Tuesday, April 2nd, at Ballantyne Hall, Ballantyne Auditorium at Kirkwood Community College. And again, that one will be live streamed as well. So if people can't make either appearance, the live stream is kirkwood.edu/BALive. And then the video of Erica from Kirkwood will be on Kirkwood's YouTube channel subsequent to her appearance. And I should point out, Erica mentioned high schools. She will be making a couple of appearances at high schools, but those are disclosed to the students. So she'll be at a couple of high schools. And we do that because of what she just said. It's really important for our students, our high school students, middle school students in particular, to hear her story this time around.
So in other words, Erica, we're going to work you pretty hard while you're here.
I already have five. I just added another session to my trip that you don't even know about yet, Jim. So I'm looking forward to it.
Jim, and I know your series and committee has a presence on the web that is available not only to get information about these events, but is up year round for people to learn about past speakers and other things about the Holocaust. So if people want to visit you online, where is that?
That's at holocausteducate.org. And thank you for mentioning that. We post articles about the Holocaust and videos. And of course, as you mentioned, we have videos and information about all our previous speakers from years past.
Well, I thank you both for being with me today. Erica, looking very much forward to having you in Cedar Rapids. And Jim, always a pleasure. Thanks to both of you.
Yeah. Thank you, Dennis.
Thank you so much.
Again, if you'd like more information about Erica's visit or anything related to Holocaust remembrance activities in the Eastern Iowa area, it's holocausteducate.org on the web. You can hear the Culture Crawl live on the radio many weekdays at 10:30, or download the podcast at kcck.org/culture. Video versions of our interviews are up on KCCK's Facebook and YouTube pages as well. Our producer is Lydia Kilgore. I'm Dennis Green, and I'll talk to you later.